So we actually have more than 20 international or localized international sites and one giant site that houses all the images, because photography speaks across languages. You don't need to be able to have perfect English to understand the image that was created by someone who has never spoken English in their life, which is something that is really awesome for us. This is traffic just for the last 3 years, and in the 15 years before that, it was obviously lower and quite a bit difficult to measure due to, unfortunately, tech limitations. So here are some numbers about us. This is monthly, and we actually really wanted to reach our community where they were, so we adopted new avenues of media, like Tumblr and Facebook and Twitter. And in fact, in China and Japan, we even use local social networks. So we're not limited to what a lot of people are if they're in the U.S. only. We actually branch out and try to find our base where they live, basically. In fact, all of these have worked out with us being a spotlight account on Tumblr. We were one of the first photography companies asked to try Twitter ads. We even hacked meetup.com to work for us. And because of that hack, they actually have an account type that does the exact same thing that ours does, or our hacked version does. So there are ways to kind of reach your community, and we did that a bit more, which you'll see in a second. We wanted to move analog photography further along, so we're still innovating within the sector. Last year, we launched online or mail order film development, as well as development in our retail stores. And we released a good camera that I'll discuss in a minute. We wanted to have an analog place for our community to meet and learn and interact. It wasn't just for us to meet and interact with them. It was for them to have a place to go together and to learn. So now we have 33 worldwide gallery stores, and we're growing every day. In fact, from the 8th to the 16th, we opened 3. So here is London, LA, New York, and where they are now. In fact, there's one here in Austin on 9th and Congress. And we have a bunch going on, as everyone of you with newspapers should know. So we grow and expand to just fit our needs, and it also helps us not grow too fast. So being obsolete, or considered obsolete, also allows you to tell an interesting story. And being considered the underdog within a sector also gives you an automatic feel-good storyline and almost built-in cheerleaders. tech details of our products are a bit on the sidelines for us. We actually want to sell a product, or excuse me, not a product, we want to sell a full package. It's always about the photo. It's always about the content. We don't need to market to the masses, but only a group. And that group tends to be creatively driven, curious people. And those are the people that also find us. We have, because of our differentiation in the photo market, we have been invited to places like Photokina, which is the largest photography. It's a trade show. Thank you. It's in Germany. I believe there's a German word for it that I am terrible at. You don't want to hear it. And we've also done giant Lomo wall projects in different cities across the world. Beijing, this is in London. We've done one in Madrid and Rio, or Brazil. And another thing that's really great about being considered the underdog is that tiny successes, small successes, are huge triumphs for the brand. We released a camera that takes 35 millimeter movies that you hand crank. And it's a huge hit. It's a huge triumph for us to be able to say, we brought moving pictures back to film when everyone else is moving away from it. That story just continues and actually is an easier thing to fall in love with than the idea of a digital movie camera. There's plenty of them. Wow, this went by real fast. So there's some takeaways for you. It is that you should really stop competing on what is the same. You need to compete on what counts. And what counts is the things that differentiate your community and your users and your buyers from everyone else's. For us, we actually have people who have a heart within their product and within their art that they create. And that helps us succeed. The fact that they care that much helps us be better. You need to remember that you're not relevant to everyone. So you need to stop trying to be. It doesn't work. Community here is king. If you're always relevant to them, you will succeed. And I cannot say that hard enough. Additionally, just don't be gross. There are some very important things I think that people do that are a little bit shady within marketing and branding that actually kind of get you in trouble later down the line. So the most important thing to be is not gross. So please ask me questions. I have all of the answers for you. And if I don't have the answers, there's actually two other people here from Lomography that definitely will. Anybody? Yes. Well, because we don't have a lot of a box that we put ourselves in, we actually make a lot of mistakes. We do a lot of things that don't work. Specifically, trying out even Twitter ads for us didn't really work because we found that Twitter, or I found personally, that Twitter brings in community more than sales for us. So we tried something and it didn't really work. And we're kind of okay with that because we learned that lesson. We didn't do a huge test. We do small tests to prove that something will work, and then we actually dive in. But we always take the chance to have the ability to dive in. If you don't take that kind of jump, you won't get the larger successes either. Yes. In film development or... Oh, product? Well, yeah, we have cameras that take a lot longer than they should have to come into existence, definitely. We don't really have a product that's ever been a complete failure. Not that I'm aware of at all, actually, because the community stands behind them. They see the reason for us releasing them. So a dedicated film or a dedicated movie camera is something that could be seen as a failure if you're from the outside, but... If you look at our community and actually what it's used for, it's a giant success. But to Kodak, they're like, huh, why would you do that? We just stopped making those. So our failures are not failures as much as people would want them to be. They're not. And I wish I could have a really solid answer for you about a product that failed, but unfortunately, we're lucky enough to not really have one of those. Yes. Oh, every vinyl record presser? Oh, my goodness. The record labels, they must be so nervous. I know they are for a fact. But if you think about what could have been done with actually book publishers, if they would put a digital download code within the book, they could take up the same market that vinyl took up. So you buy the physical product, because I want the physical product. I love my books. But if you have a code within it that... however they do it, that I can put on my Kindle, on my iPad, on my iPhone, on my Android, whatever, I would buy books constantly. I would buy both versions. I would pay more. So I think that a lot of vinyl pressers and people that are actually exploring ways to both have the physical and the digital, which is what analog photography does as well, because you can scan the negatives, people who will explore that, the tangibility, are people that will succeed. Yes.
During that transition to obsolete.
Yes.
And you make this decision, we're going to stand firm right here. How did you come to that decision, and then how did you communicate that it was a conscious decision, not just that you were truly becoming obsolete like Kodak?
We actually did that analog survey where we were kind of on the cusp of what should we do next, and we turned to our users. Like, we exactly turned to them and said, what is analog? We asked them what products they'd like to see. We asked them what's important to them. And we went to Photokina that year and announced that the future is analog. And we went full force into it. We didn't even think about working on a digital camera, and we haven't since. It's something that if you don't throw yourself full force into it, it's kind of going to fail. Like, you have to take up the torch. You have to lead the group. So us doing that has actually led to us now becoming one of the larger film producers in the world. It's going to be a very interesting few years for us. Yes.
The way you talk, it almost sounds like you don't consider yourself to have competition. Is that accurate, or do you have competitors?
There's competition. We do have competition. It's that we do something a little different than most competitors. Most competitors come into the market looking to make money. We didn't start that way, and it's not the main part of our brand. Like, of course, yes, money is fantastic. But it's not the thing that keeps us going. I don't work extra hours a week for money. I work extra hours a week because I care about analog photography. Competitors can come in. All they're doing is helping us. They're saying, hey, analog photography, you're right. It is legit. It has a purpose. And we champion all analog, be it our cameras or someone else's. We actually don't own Holga. People think we do. We don't. I would say that they're not even really a competitor, though, because they don't have a community that we do. They don't really produce film. They don't have their heart into analog photography. They're product-based and product-based only, which is great for them. But it's not what we do, and it's not what we want. Yes? I actually would be not the best person to talk about that, but there's a gentleman right here in the front named Mickey Beyer who will happily discuss that with you right after. Yes. That's him. People accessing our community and our photos online and through apps is not a problem. It's definitely something that's interesting, especially even for us. But there will never be an app that uses filters and takes photos and builds the community that way. I like you for that. We're analog photography. That's definitely something that we think about. And it's not something that's off the table at all. We like to make decisions based upon what the community needs. So when they shout it, we work on it. As long as it makes sense for us. Yes.
What approach have you guys taken to interacting with your community? And what role do you play? And I guess across all the different networks that are available, how do you guys kind of interact with your community when you let them do work anyway?
We actually really care. So we just kind of act like human beings across the things. If people have questions, we actually answer them publicly. So if somebody's camera broke, we'll address that to them in a public forum. So if somebody else comes across the same problem, they can see it as well. They can see how we handle everything. Additionally, with Twitter, we publicly reply. We try to keep private replies down. We welcome them to call us. Please, call me, ask me questions. I'm happy to answer it. And that goes across all social platforms for us. If somebody has a question on Tumblr, we answer it publicly. If somebody has a problem or wants to tell us we're awesome, we high-five them in public. In fact, one of our community members, we met here last year at South by Southwest, and now he runs our South Central of the United States. His name's Cameron. He's right over there. So he went from community member who was verbal, wanted to meet us, wanted to act, and he is now part of our company. So it's something that we actually really, really care about. Yes?
Thoughts on Instagram?
It's different than us. We aren't Instagram. They're not us. They've done something very well, which is create a community around photography. Around iPhoneography, as I would say. But it's a different sector. It's not really something that I would say anything negatively about or anything negative about. I use it. But I don't use it like I use my film cameras. They're completely separate, at least in my eyes. Yes?
Thank you.
You'd be surprised. People actually come to us and they say, I've been using Instagram and I want the real thing. I want the thing that I can hold. So it's not that we really, they can do what they want. They're over there. They're doing their app thing. We're not. So far be it from us to actually try to disrupt what they are doing. But we don't have to work too hard against them at all. In fact, I don't think I've ever worked hard against them. Yes. No, everything we do is internal. So camera design, product design, our website is actually designed by this gentleman. How we communicate via social media, PR, architecture of our stores, everything is internal. So we don't actually look to anyone else for anything. Anyone else, or do I get to let y'all go early? Oh, yes. Not that I'm currently aware of, but it's not something that we are leaving out. As those things are difficult to get a hold of and difficult to kind of utilize, I think that there's a giant market for that. But there's still a lot of them around, so it's something that's not an urgent concern. Yes? Yes, that's us. We recreated the Diana. We bought the mold. And we made it better. We made it so you can take the lens off of it, and it's a pinhole camera. You can add a different lens to it and change the entire look of your photo. And it is probably one of the most successful film cameras in a very, very long time, which is exciting. Yes?
Do you have any products coming up that you're really excited about that you can share?
Not that I can share. But I will say that 2012 is going to be amazing for us. There's a lot going on that you really don't want to miss. I know I saw some hands. Yes? No. Not at all. The film processing is alive and well. People think that just because their local store disappeared, that it's difficult to do. And it's actually very simple. We provide it for mail-in. We do it at all of our stores. And we even on our website have a list of places in the world to find film development. And the products to create the development are still in large supply and demand because there's still 35-millimeter movies that are, or the large format movies that are filmed on 35-millimeter or 16-millimeter that use the exact same developing stuff, so they still utilize that. So until that happens, we don't have really anything to worry about there. Yes?
A lot of the cameras that you make and the films that you make all have this sort of dreamy quality to them. Do you guys have any sort of, do you focus at all or think about the
non-dreamy sorts of cameras? Yeah, actually, the Diana is our dreamiest. It's actually the one camera that has a plastic lens designed to be dreamy. Most of our cameras are actually not dreamy. The Lubitel is a recreation of the original Russian Lubitels, and it actually has one of the crispest, dreamless, I would say, lenses I've ever used in my life. It's almost Hasselblad lens style, where it's just exact. And also the LCA, it may not be dreamy per se. It does vignette at the edges and wide angle a bit. So a lot of people kind of confuse the dream with that. But a lot of our focus is not on dreamy. It's just the Diana gets a lot more attention than some of our other cameras. So
the LCA is very stylized.
It is. I do because our community isn't just based on the actual camera. It's based on the style of like snapshot photography, whereas Fuji would be like, this is a camera. It's perfect for everything. You love it. This is like what we do is more about capturing a moment. And you can make any camera special by switching the film that's in it. And a lot of people don't know that offhand, so we teach them that. We do our best to teach them that small changes within how the process works actually creates that special moment. So you can do lomography with any film camera. Yes. Well, because they're analog photography and they're not competition for us, because they're focusing on something that we don't focus on, we're fine with people that love the Impossible Project. It's Polaroid again. I mean, it's a version of it, so to speak, but it's not something that's a negative or something that we dislike. Yeah, all the Impossible Project workers are from Lomography. So the current CEO and the founders. Yes? Growing international is actually a really fun thing for us. One of the first things we do is move into the country either with a store or a localized version of the website. So we will take what we have and we will take the things that are relevant to that locality and translate them into the local language, start working with the companies and the brands that are important in that country or that locality, and actually start forming a local community, because we'll have community members everywhere in the world. And we start meetups there. So, for example, we have something coming up in Chicago. So we hired a manager for the area. We sent her there. And she's doing meetups to start the community. It's kind of one of the best ways, because you get that local connection, and you also find people that can eventually work for you there. So you're killing two birds with one stone. And after you open a store in the area, it becomes this analog place to meet that supports the website, and the website supports the store. So it forms an ecosystem that is actually highly interesting to watch happen. Yes?
How do you give back to the community?
We reward them a lot, not only with what we call piggy points to add to their piggy bank, which are basically monetary amounts off of our store, but we also do giant photo competitions constantly, where they can win awesome things. For example, we just did one with Portlandia that just ended, which was Put a Bird on It, as it should have been. We're doing a year-long collaboration with the state of Virginia about capturing love in different ways, where people... we have a custom camera, actually, that says Virginia is for lovers on it.
Have you seen the original commercial?
Yes. We've seen it. We threw a giant party at our New York store, and they like brought Virginia to us. So we had like special Route 11 chips and like all these Virginia items that most locals would know. And so the entire thing is a year long. It's about capturing love in different ways, and it ends with the winners getting flown to Virginia and to be the actual Virginia tourism photographer at these events. We not only reward our community for being loyal, but also for being awesome. Like, I love our community. I think they are amazing people. And we want to make sure that they're not only our consumers, but actually our friends. Yes.
So I'm
here from Toronto. Hello,
Toronto. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Constantly. I do one a month at the minimum, and that's just me. Our team is international, so there's stuff going on every localized site. There's multiple things going on just internationally, and we always have something that someone could submit an image to going on. We also announce our newcomers to the community in a way so that the community can see who's new and who might need a hand figuring out how to use their camera. We pick the photo of the day. We pick the user of the day. And we announce those to our community across social media as well so that people get to know each other. They get ingrained within the community. And then they come back to submit their photos to competitions. And if they need film, we have them there. You know, it's a really interesting thing, but we're constantly doing collaborations with people. I think we have multiple people actually shooting at South By. Anyone else, or should we let you go a little bit early? Awesome. All right, get out.